everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast mini-series Solo Gaming Updates, episode 28. Sorry, coming to you guys a little bit later than usual. I prefer to have kind of a Tuesday-Thursday layout for the episodes of the week, but things were very, very busy on Tuesday. Was not able to actually go ahead and make an episode. So, sorry, this is kind of the, unfortunately, like the one episode of the week. And then some little bit of news, like housekeeping kind of stuff. Next week, I will actually be unavailable to record as well. So I think the next time I'll be able to come back with an episode will likely be December 1st. So, wow, already into the new I was going to say new year, the last month of the year. Just got a lot of things going on. I've got an exam coming up as well. I'm not in school anymore, but do have medical board exams that I got to take. So last kind of push for this exam coming up pretty soon, in a couple weeks actually. And yeah, I'm going to need to take basically a week break just to go ahead and make sure I got all the studying stuff I need to do. Also means I'm not going to be able to play as many games as I normally would, which is basically why I probably won't have much to talk about in terms of games this coming week, basically. So sorry about that for people who are looking forward to kind of learning about games and hearing about games and all these different things that are going on in video games. So I just said games a whole bunch of times. Well, hope you guys are in for a little bit of a ride here, because I've played quite a few things over this past several days, though. Let's go ahead and start in... Where do we go? Let's start with actually my favorite one of the things that I played this past several days, and that has been a little gem called Astro's Playroom. Now, as some people may be aware, this is a game that does come tied in with the PS5, so it's not something you have to purchase yourself. Just the fact that you buy a PS5 means that you basically are allowed to download this game and then play it at your leisure. It is roughly a 2 to 4 hour experience, depending on how quickly you go through like platforming kind of games and stuff. It's made up of kind of four main levels or four main areas with kind of like different levels inside each one. None of the levels are really separated by like loading screens and things. It's really just about when you get to the end of one section, it kind of has a different like animation that brings you basically into the next area, and it's pretty cool. Like overall, the different levels are designed so well and with so many kind of things in mind for the new controller that the PS5 has, the DualSense, that it's difficult to put into words kind of how well this game, or some may call it like this tech demo, has been put together in order to kind of show you the different capabilities of the new controller for the PlayStation 5. And it's something that I can't fully explain here in a way that is kind of like coherent and really like makes people get it who haven't touched the controller or used it for a period of time. But the new controller has some of the things that people kind of talk about on like, or even commercials and things, is that the triggers kind of have different resistance levels that kind of allow game developers to kind of set limits for like when you're pulling the triggers and how they kind of feel in terms of each degree of like pulling that trigger. So that can kind of be put into multiple ways in terms of like one of the Sony's favorite ways to talk about it is like pulling the drawstring of a bow, whereas the kind of more you pull it, the tighter you have to actually hold that trigger in order to get through the resistance and everything. At first, I didn't really think that was going to be too big of a thing, but I did notice that playing certain games that I, or so far, and I may have mentioned this before, but playing certain games where I go to pull the triggers and I realize I'm not pulling them all the way because I'm not hitting through that resistance piece. And so that's been a new type of thing in terms of like Astro's Playroom that comes into play, especially with the, what is that called? The rocket thrusters, and also the, later on in the very last kind of section or area that you can play in, the GPU jungle is what they call it. In there, you have a monkey suit that you kind of end up controlling. It looks like a robotic monkey that your character goes inside of, and then he controls the arms and things. Basically, in that area, there are some kind of like platforming challenging kind of areas in terms of kind of you're used to just using these monkey arms to reach up and grab the next area, and you grab it by pulling the trigger all the way. And you kind of reach your arms up by swinging the controller basically up in that direction. So like you swing it up to the right slightly, and not huge swings, but if you just kind of move the controller up and to the right, you get a little bit of that, you get the monkey to reach up and grab whatever you're grabbing next, but then you hit the trigger to make him hold it, right? So you keep on moving like that, going like left and right, in order to bring yourself further and further up on this climbing section. And there are some areas there where the handholds that you have to grab look like they have crumbled somewhat. And if you go like full force and you just kind of pull the trigger all the way and on those areas, you will essentially break the handhold, and then you can't progress, and so you have to wait for it to kind of, reform in a way. And so once it reforms, you have to go and grab it again, but you have to not pull the trigger fully, so you have to kind of, like, leave some of that extra resistance. And it was a weird experience where I was trying to do it, and I was like, what's wrong with this thing? And then I realized, oh, they want me to use, like, a lighter touch on this handhold grabbing part. And so I kind of swung it up, very lightly pressed on the controller or the trigger, and then he saw that he was grabbing it but kind of being very gentle about it. And I was like, oh man, there's so many different kind of layers that they've kind of shown in here in terms of the capabilities of the controllers and what people could potentially do in the future with that. So very, very exciting. Overall, the four levels are based on the kind of different consoles different console generations in PlayStation history. So there is Memory Meadows, which is all about the PlayStation 1. There's the, SSD Speedway, which is the one that I talked about last time, which is very cool. That's the PlayStation 2 era. There is, I want to say Frozen Fields, I believe. That one is the PlayStation 3, and then, Frozen Fields is not right. I think Frozen Fields is maybe a speedrun level, or a section inside there. I believe, it's all about, like, it's escaping my mind. I can't think of it. I'll get back to you guys on that. But it's basically all about the, like, cooling system kind of thing, in terms of these areas are kind of all different eras in PlayStation history, but the names of them are also kind of related to the inner workings of the actual PlayStation 5 itself as well. So it's kind of dual layers in terms of like the references that they kind of make here. So cooling something is the third area, and it's basically talking about the cooling system of the PlayStation 5. So that one, yeah, PlayStation 3 there, and then the last one is the GPU jungle, which is PlayStation 4 kind of centric in terms of like the artifacts you find. And man, there's so many cool things to kind of go through and find throughout the game. I did end up going through and platinuming the game, and then there's also three extra trophies at the end that you can get while you're playing, and then there's kind of speedrun things that you can go through that isn't required for the platinum. I went through and got those as well so I could get the full 100%, and that was actually one of the more like fun things that I didn't think I would actually get into, was in terms of the speedrunning aspect, where I've done speedrun things before. Games like Fury required kind of speedrun things for specific like trophies in that game to get the platinum, and also just kind of other games in general that have these kind of speedrun components. One that I still have not been able to go through and finish was Shovel Knight, because there's a speedrun trophy where I think you have to beat the game in under an hour and a half. And I have, I think, consistently been like just about 3 minutes over that time. And so it's getting to the end of the game and just getting right there and being so close and not being able to hit it has been very frustrating. So that one, that gold trophy has kind of eluded me for years at this point, I believe. I'm going to have to eventually go back to that and try to do it again. I've found that the easy way to do that one, or the easier way, is to be doing it on the PlayStation Vita, just because, I don't know, Shovel Knight just plays so well as a handheld kind of game. And also you have the ability to kind of pause and kind of freeze the time by basically clicking on the PlayStation button on the Vita in order to back yourself out of the game. So if you do need like a break at some point, you're not forced to allow the time to just keep on going and stuff by, because I think if you go into the pause menu, the time I believe still goes, but hitting the Sony button there does bring you out of it, and it kind of pauses time, which is good. But enough about that speedrun trophy. The Astrobot ones, they have about, I believe, eight or 10 levels of speedrunning kind of areas that you can do here. A few of them are kind of built around some of the mechanics in the game in terms of like the different devices that Astro can inhabit, such as like the monkey robot or the jetpack, the rocket booster kind of bubble. And going through these things was pretty interesting, just because they're kind of like somewhat new courses that you have to make your way up and whatnot. They also have a series of kind of, I guess obstacle courses is kind of like one of it, or basically like platforming levels that you can make your way through that have kind of light basis in the different worlds that you were playing in before as well. And man, I gotta say, this part has been a lot of fun, just because going through, if other people on your friends list has played or have played Astro's Playroom and have done the kind of time challenges like that, their times will appear in a kind of scoreboard that you can check. There's also the global leaderboard, as well as your friend's leaderboard. So I don't look too much at the global one. Originally, I was doing pretty decently global-wise, but I think now that more people are playing it, there's a lot more people that have way better times. So I'm just like, nope, I'm like falling down the rankings there. But in the friend's leaderboard category, I can see that I think there are generally anywhere between three to five people that have played kind of all the levels on my friend's list right now. And each time that you finish a run, if you get like a new high score or you top a friend score and stuff, you can go ahead and hit that PlayStation button on the controller and it will show you basically that you've kind of jumped into first place and stuff by showing you your ranking and your time. If you didn't jump a place, it'll also show you your ranking and time there, but then you can hit the button once more. And it takes you to kind of the breakdown of like where your friends' times are at currently on the leaderboard. And so you can keep on trying as many times as you want. It keeps log of the number of tries you've had in a level, I think, on the actual like selection screen itself, as well as just kind of the trophy cards, or I don't know if they're called trophy cards, but basically the card system now that they have or game card system they have for the PlayStation menu and whatnot, or the hot menu. So looking at those things, it's fun to kind of see how many times you've tried to go through a thing. So there are some levels where I had to try multiple times to get like way better, or to get better times, just because there was a difference of like, you know, like hundredths of a second at this point. And when it comes to those things, I really need to kind of buckle in and make sure that I'm getting these times in there, because out of the kind of different things you can get individual times for each level, and also kind of a total time that is a compilation of like all the time, or yeah, all the levels put together into like one giant time. And the giant time is what was required for the trophy, and that one's I believe you have to finish all of the levels. Actually, I think there are just only eight levels. You have to finish all of them for a total time of under 7 minutes, which is definitely doable. It's not too difficult. But in terms of kind of like seeing the friends changing places in like terms of like who's winning at the leaderboards and stuff, that has been kind of the more fun thing, because when someone goes back and plays a level and tops your score, the next time you log into the PlayStation 5, or even if you're already on it, you get a notification that was like, hey, like, let's just use this guy's name for example, because he and I have been kind of trading places every now and then. His name is Mr. K-Step, and I think that's his new nickname, because it was, I believe, like, Houdet Ninja, something before. He's a host of the Trophy Room podcast, I believe. And I saw that he and I have been trading places in the Astro's Playroom leaderboards there. And it's been fun, just because I get to see his time pop up, and then I look at the time comparison and I'm like, man, he beat me by like a few like hundredths of a second, or even like thousandths of a second. I'm like, all right, we got to go ahead and jump in here again. Got to get this going, get back into first place. And I think there's only been maybe one level recently that I've not been able to pass him again at, and I need to just kind of figure out exactly what I need to do differently. I believe it's the Frozen Fields speed run in terms of like this specific level that I'm trying to do, because I think some the other ones that I had to jump back into to beat the scores and stuff, he had beat, I think, by like hundredths of a second. I think for Frozen Fields, he had beat by like a full 5 seconds. And I was just like mind blown. I didn't know what I was doing in terms of like how I could be faster at that thing. I didn't want to look up. I mean, I could always look up videos to see like how some of these like top speedrun people are doing this level. And I feel like that kind of takes a little bit of the fun out of it. I think I've done stuff like that in the past for things like Titanfall 2, the speedrun challenge there in the beginning of the tutorial mission. And while that one I think was very necessary because I had no idea how to, you know, go so fast in that thing because I was, I think, almost like 3 times slower than I needed to be for the speedrun trophy there. And watching the video, I was like, dang, this is another level in terms of like how to actually move through this thing. So that one helped a lot. And I know it would help a lot if I watched videos, if they're available at the moment, of like speedrunning some of these levels like Frozen Fields. But I want to at the same time be able to figure it out, because for these other things, I have been able to figure out kind of ways to make times faster. And I feel like that's kind of part of the fun of the entire thing, is testing out different paths and things like that, because they're not always like obvious paths. Sometimes they are, you know, just kind of shortcuts that you kind of cut across like a corner or so because you use the jet boots in order to kind of boost yourself over there. And that's worked for the majority of things, but for Frozen Fields, I don't know what I did wrong in terms of how to make things faster, but it's quite impressive that he got it so much faster there. So I'm going to have to try and get back into that eventually. It is the reason that after I platinumed and 100% of the game, I ended up re-downloading it again because I saw that he was beating some of my times and I was like, man, I got to jump back in there. So that's been a lot of fun, and I was very surprised to see how much fun I'm having with the speedrun portion there. But overall, man, the game was so magical, just kind of going through these different areas and seeing all the different, the artifacts, as they kind of call it. But all the different artifacts from different ages of PlayStation, if you will, has been very, very cool. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there that I didn't know existed, especially during the earlier eras. I really jumped further in terms of like the PlayStation, you know, ecosystem and stuff, more so in the PlayStation 3 life cycle. I had a PS1, but didn't have like any of like the other stuff that was kind of shown in the artifacts there, like the more like portable version of it in terms of like the one that came with, or not, maybe not came with, but had the option for a like small screen to play games on the go. Didn't even need to hook it up to a TV at that point, it looks like. Also just kind of the different things like the, I don't know the name of it. It almost basically looked like a, what if you remember, Tamagotchis, those kind of small pod-like toys that you had that you could take care of these little creatures with. There was some kind of thing like that for the PlayStation 1 era as well. And I assume it was kind of, you could play these kind of really small Sony games on the go in terms of kind of, you know, more, I would assume more like retro kind of style things there. And just lots of cool like history that you kind of learn about all through there. So Team Asobi did a really, really great job for the entire thing here. And hats off to them for making such a really cool experience. Not to mention, like, the culmination with the last boss battle there, was not expecting that going on. And very, very cool way to kind of finish off the entire thing. But yeah, I think if you guys are interested in trying out Astro's Playroom, definitely give it a go. Obviously it's totally free. It's something that's available to everybody who has a PS5, and I think the Platinum is totally doable as well. I ended up getting that in like on completion wise in terms of the PSN profile's time. I have the 1 day and 7 hours, so not too bad at all. And I wasn't playing that entire time either, of course. So very, very cool. 46 trophies in all, very doable. So go out there and get those trophies, guys. Along with that, I like very briefly jumped into Bugsnax. I caught myself a Strawby, which is the like strawberry bug snack kind of thing. They ended up actually answering one of the questions that I was having later on in terms of kind of like if Bugsnax is plural for like a bug snack. I was like, well, I was wondering like how you actually spell out Bugsnax, and it looks like it's basically you just switch out the X for a K in there. So answered my question, which is good to find out. It's cute so far though. I like the kind of art style and everything that they're going for. after catching my first strawby, which is a, like I mentioned, strawberry looking bug snack with eyeballs and stuff that runs around saying strawby, strawby, strawby. I ended up catching that and then I think popped a trophy there, which is what I was mainly after, was kind of popping a first trophy on release night and then being able to kind of go back to that later at my leisure and stuff. So I did that. I also went and played enough of Demon's Souls to get through the first boss of that game as well. It's been such a long time since I tried out Demon's Souls that I originally forgot that you couldn't strengthen your character until you had finished fighting the first boss, which is what they call a Phalanx, I believe, or a Phalanx. The idea that it's this like gelatinous blob with a whole bunch of shields and spears, similar to, I believe, like the whole Spartan idea of like forming that, like what's called shields, like with spears facing out and everything, as kind of like a moving thing of like mass destruction and protection and stuff. But I guess there's a specific word I'm trying to think of that I can't think of off the top of my head. Kind of like a formation, basically. A military formation. But the idea for this demon here is that, yeah, it has all these different parts that are kind of gelatinous blobs with shields. And they kind of throw spears at you, as well as kind of like holding the spears and like poking it out at you if you get too close. But I've forgotten that you couldn't strengthen your character, like I mentioned, until you beat that first boss. And then once I did, I was able to go and start strengthening my character. And now I'm like, okay, this is what I needed to do, because I needed to basically make it so that I could hold some of the heavier set weapons and make myself stronger and everything to do more damage. But it's been really cool getting back into Demon's Souls. The game, man, it just looks beautiful. It's crazy how amazing this game looks. But along with that, just kind of the way the gameplay feels different because of the responsiveness of the controller and kind of the different rumbles they have inputted inside here against different enemies and things, just kind of changes the way the game feels and gives it like this brand new coat, if you will. Coat of arms, you might say. But yeah, I mean, it's been very fun so far. Like, that's just kind of been my main experience with the PlayStation 5 so far, is just everything feels so new. Obviously the console's new and some of these games are new, but everything feels so new and fresh in a way that I think this is kind of what I've really been looking forward to. I've been, you know, finding it hard to kind of go back and play PS4 games and things. And that's been happening for a while, where my backlog has just grown so tremendous that it sometimes just feels kind of overwhelming. And this is a total like first world problem kind of thing. But yeah, I'm just like, man, I don't have enough time in the day or in the year, basically, to even like play through all the games that I would like to do. Just one, because of adult life and stuff. And two, just because, you know, got to go and spend time with friends and family and my wife and everything. So it's like, you know, trying to balance everything has always been a difficult task. Some would say maybe like you're never going to be able to balance to do everything you want to do because you're just one person. But, you know, I try to do the best that I can, and I end up having to put a lot of games on the wayside because of it, because, you know, there's just more important things sometimes. Blasphemy coming from a video game centric podcast host over here. But yeah, it's been a tough thing going back and playing some older PS4 games, but going and playing them on the PS5 has almost kind of given them like a breath of fresh air, which has been nice. Especially going and playing the PS5 games themselves, it's definitely made everything feel kind of like brand new, and almost like a weight's been lifted, where because there's so few PS5 games out at the moment, and because I have so few things actually like in my PS5 library, it feels as if it's possible to like start keeping up with the PS5 games that I own and whatnot, in terms of like, okay, if I can go through and I can play slash beat sometimes slash complete the games that I own for PS5, maybe I can kind of keep this list manageable, even though like the PS4 and the PS3 list is like totally lost at this point. There's no way I'm going to be able to go through and finish all those things unless I just stop buying games or playing new experiences for probably like the next like year or two, and really only focus on old stuff, which I think is also something that could be done. But at the same time, there's so many cool new things that always come out that I want to try out the next thing. So I've been trying to do my best to go through the PS5 versions of things. Next up on my list basically is going to be The Pathless, because that's one that I started on the PS4 and found out how recently to download the PS5 version. So I'm going to go ahead and do that one next, most likely, along with, of course, Bugsnax. And also working on the Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales Platinum as well. It's weird because on the trophy list, I'm around like 30% completion rate there. But I know that in terms of like the game itself, when I go and load up the game from like a cold start, it shows me that I believe I'm over 50% done with the game, which tells me that there's probably a lot of things that are tied to collectibles that I'm going to end up having to get afterwards. I think there's also a few trophies that I ended up missing. Maybe not a few, but there's one for sure, at least, that I think I missed from the early game in terms of I was doing my best to... we're going to go into a tiny spoilers for the very beginning of Miles Morales in terms of kind of the opening scenes. So if you want to go ahead and skip ahead, we'll say about... we'll say about 30 seconds starting now. So if you are playing the early mission, you know that Rhino is the big boss in the very beginning opening part of the game. And basically, as you're going through all that, you need to kind of steer Rhino through this section of basically your Miles, and you're riding him through a mall, and you have to steer him around all the people and things that can break in the way. And it was a really fun section, but I didn't realize there was a trophy attached to actually steering him into things to break them. So, you know, that's on me. And now we're back, 30 seconds later, so I was keeping a timer there just to make sure that I didn't go over time. But yeah, basically, I ended up missing that trophy because I didn't realize it was a thing before I went into that section of the game. So I'll end up playing it again just because I believe there is also a trophy for completing New Game Plus for Miles Morales. But that means that it'll just be something that I waits for a while, and I'll kind of clean up things afterwards. So I'm trying to kind of clean up all the different collectibles and things I can do in the main game. And if there are small things that I have to do later on, then, you know, so be it during that last playthrough. So it'll be fine in the grand scheme of things. Played a little bit more of Watch Dogs Legion as well. This time, actually, though, downloaded the PS5 version, so it's basically I'm starting the game fresh. It's been weird, because I know that on the PS4 version, I am so kind of ingrained with my crew of DedSec and whatnot, all the characters that I've gathered, and I've grown so attached to all of them that starting up the PS5 version and kind of choosing a new character, or a new, like, main operative and stuff for the first time in there is kind of like bittersweet in a way, and it's weird. It's kind of almost like opposite of my experience with another Ubisoft game going from PS3 to PS4, so last transition cycle. And that one at the time was Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. That one felt okay because obviously you're playing as the same character and everything. I have the same kind of connection with Edward Kenway on that one. And it's not as big of a deal kind of jumping from the PS3 version to the PS4 version and kind of starting anew and everything. That one, I was fine with it. I ended up going and completing the game on the PS4 instead of the PS3 and just, I think, got the majority of the trophies. There was just a few tied to like online things there that I didn't get because, you know, it was a little bit too much in terms of the online systems and playing there. It just wasn't as fun. So I wanted mainly just the story stuff. I could probably still go through and play Black Flag on the PS3 if I wanted to, but at the time, changing from PS3 to PS4, the game looked so much better on PS4 that it was really hard to justify going back and doing it again, other than just kind of getting extra trophies and things. But the weird thing is that, like, even though going from Watch Dogs Legion on the PS4 to the PS5 has been a somewhat of like a graphical upgrade, even though it's been definitely an upgrade in terms of load times and things, it's kind of like melancholy sad in a way, going from the PS4 version to the PS5, because I am starting a brand new game because I want to make sure I can get all the trophies and things if I'm doing that, because it's the same trophy list, but it is, there's kind of a PS4 version and a PS5 version, which means you can get the trophies twice for everything. But yeah, it's sad in a way because I have the operatives that I like playing and that I want to play as on the PS4 version. And then it almost feels like in the PS5 version right now, everything is kind of like new and it's not the operatives that I'm used to, you know? So I think in order to kind of make it feel different, I chose to forego the permadeath option for the PS5 version this time, just so I can kind of mainline things if I'm trying to just go and get the platinum and whatnot, and then really dive into my characters with the PS4 version of it. And if it's possible, I'll try and see if I can kind of upload, I believe you can. You can upload your save from the Ubisoft cloud, basically, to the PlayStation 5 and go ahead and play from there. But I want to make sure that I have kind of all the characters that I want in my PS4 version and whatnot, and then kind of bring it forward over to the PS5. But once that I have kind of gotten to a same place trophy-wise, I'll say, because the last thing I want to do is go ahead and bring it over and realize that there's things that I'm missing that I can't go and get because the game thinks I already did it, or because I've already passed that point in the game itself and the trophies just aren't going to pop. So it's kind of pros and cons kind of thing from switching over from the PS4 version to the PS5 version. Definite pro though. The loading times are so much better. Like where they may be sometimes like 30 seconds, 40 seconds on the PS4 version of the game, they're like almost always below 10 seconds, and sometimes only like as many as like 5 seconds of loading, which is insane in terms of kind of like the amount of time it feels like you're saving for the loading portions of the game, which, you know, happens pretty frequently, especially when you're doing like fast traveling and stuff. That was kind of one of the reasons I avoided fast traveling all the time in the PS4 version and just chose to kind of drive places instead, was because of the, you know, egregious loading times over there. And now that I have it on the PS5, I don't feel bad about fast traveling and stuff like that. I can just kind of quickly jump to an area close to the mission that I'm at and then keep going from there. Now, that does mean that I'm not making as many connections with my characters and stuff, especially with the permadeath option off. It probably just means I'm going to have a more selective group of operatives rather than kind of filling out the entire thing, which is, you know, okay, it's fine. I'm trying to gain more operatives that I want to play with and stuff. And we'll kind of see how that goes. I think by the end of everything, or maybe by the time I get to the same rough story area that I'm at in the PS4 version, I'll kind of feel better about it because I'll know a little bit more about the operatives I'm playing as and kind of see their own personalities and things. But yeah, so far it's been interesting, transitioning at least. So I know I talked pretty highly about the game, and I think I still feel good about it. But after playing some of the other things like Spider-Man Miles Morales and stuff on the PS5, I'm just kind of like, nope, like there's no way I can justify having Watch Dogs Legion as like one of my favorite games of the year anymore, just because there's clearly so many other things that have kind of passed it in terms of kind of like, you know, just the antiquated feel that Watch Dogs can kind of have at times, as well as just like the polish of the game and stuff compared to other titles like Miles Morales and Demon's Souls and things like that. So it's tough, you know, because I really did enjoy the time that I've put into Watch Dogs Legion so far on the PS4. But yeah, we'll see if I get further into it and kind of get to the end of the story and whatnot. We'll see if that kind of bumps its way back up, because it always could. And, you know, it's hard to say for sure until you've finished the entire thing and kind of finished all these different games that you are considering for like your kind of short list of games of the year and stuff like that. So we'll see by the end of the year for sure. Now, along with that, I'll just kind of mention real briefly one of the or a couple of the games that I also played that are basically PS4 games that I've gotten to play on the PS5 recently. One of them, real quick, was a fast platinum for a game that I didn't think was going to get a sequel ever, and surprisingly, it did get a sequel. It's called My Name Is Mayo. 2 is this game. The first one is basically the same as this second game as well, just kind of more like corny jokes and things. The game is strictly a trophy game for sure. Like, there's not really any gameplay to speak of. It's really all just these corny jokes. You are like tapping on a mayonnaise jar in order to like open it and stuff. And as you do that, you kind of unlock more corny jokes and like different like backgrounds and things, which is a really like strange thing. I thought it would be funny to have this one as well, just because I think it was like 99 cents. And I'm just like, yeah, you know what? Let's do it. We did the first one. Let's do the second one, because they worked so hard to make a sequel into these ridiculous games. So I went through and platinumed that because it came out earlier this week. Well, the more important one, though, is called Children of Zodiarks. It's a game that I played quite a long while ago. at least 2 years or more ago, I believe now, and jumped back into that because I had a save file that I brought over from the PS4 when I kind of transferred data over. This game is a really cool kind of strategy RPG game. It has a kind of dice battle system where you, dice slash card battle system, where you kind of, as you're playing, you draw cards. Depending on what kind of action you want to take, you can draw cards that have different skills and attacks and abilities on them, as well as kind of these dice that are connected with your character. And each time you use a card, you roll these dice in order to either kind of like strengthen the attack that you're doing or the skill that you're using, or sometimes randomly heal your character or gain like extra actions. But it's a pretty deep battle system, and you can really kind of get into the weeds of kind of customizing dice and things there, as well as your own card deck. And it's a fun strategy game if people are looking for kind of interesting indie titles there. But yeah, I kind of jumped back into that, played another level, and was kind of starting to remember, like, yeah, I really did enjoy this when I was playing it back in the day. So I'm going to hopefully try and continue on that path there. I've kind of changed course in terms of like indie games that I am currently playing at the moment. I believe the Game Awards list has come out, and a bunch of titles that I figured might be on there, looks like they have not been put on there in terms of indie titles. So a little disappointing there, but not entirely unexpected. Sometimes it's hard to just get people to kind of really pay attention to these specific indie games, even if they are amazing. Things like Scourgebringer, I don't believe I saw on the list. And I could be wrong. I briefly went through it really quickly, but I think for like best indie games was kind of what I was looking at in terms of the category there for these smaller titles. And it does seem like a bunch of ones that I thought maybe would be put on that list, like CrossCode or Eichenfell, or I guess Eichenfell is the correct pronunciation, as well as Scourgebringer, things like that. They don't seem like they've gotten the love that I thought they might get from game critics. So maybe we'll see. If I look through the list more, I might end up finding that there are maybe some actual mentions of those games that I was hoping they would get. But if not, it's okay. These things do happen, and you know, it's. There's so many games that come out in the year and so many things that do deserve the love that are probably on there that I haven't even given love to and kind of figured out that have been, you know, really deserving of these nominations. So, you know, it just means that I'll need to play some more things, and maybe other people need to play some more things too, just to figure out kind of what things are really awesome throughout the year. But that's part of why we love the indie game scene, you know, just because there's so many crazy things that can come out and surprise you. I know Michael was really excited about the fact that Hades, a indie game from Supergiant Games, has gotten so much love during the Game Awards nominees so far. It's actually, I think, included in there for Game of the Year, which is a huge deal for a smaller title compared to blockbusters like, I believe, Final Fantasy VII Remake is on there, Doom Eternal, The Last of Us Part 2, Ghost of Tsushima. There's all these huge names and huge hitters on there. And then you also have Hades, and it's like, man, it's crazy to see that now, crazy and really awesome to see that now indie titles are kind of getting to be the same level of consideration for, you know, huge awards like the Game of the Year. And very, very cool. I'm really hopeful that Hades pulls away with a whole bunch of awards here. Just like, what was that game? There was a game last year that pulled away with quite a few awards as well. But it was a PC game, and I can't remember the name. It was about, like, detectives and things. I'll come back with the name eventually. I'll figure it out and let you guys know next time. But like I mentioned, in case you have already forgotten from the beginning of the episode, next time an episode will be coming out will be December 1st. Most likely December 1st. That will be for sure the next time that I'll be able to record some stuff. Until then, though, I hope you guys are able to play some cool games. Try out the new systems if you can. I know there are people excited about both systems, Xbox Series X / S, as well as the PS5. And if you guys have the ability and can find those systems out there, because they're pretty scarce right now, definitely go and check some things out, because there are a lot of cool stuff available now, as well as just being able to play all the games you own on the previous systems also. So, very cool. Hope you guys have a good next week. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Thank you again for listening, everybody. And until next time, stay good, stay healthy. Stay good, stay healthy? What is that? I don't even know anymore. But yeah, stay healthy, take care of yourselves, and thank you all again. I will see you next time. Peace out.